Hello and welcome to What Does the Bible Say? I'm your host, Dr. Wayne Davis of Creekside Messianic Fellowship in Jasper, Georgia. I believe with all my heart that we're quickly approaching the day of the Lord, the time when our Messiah Yeshua is going to blow that trumpet and call us all home. I want to spend the next few weeks looking at the book of John, because I think the Gospel of John has a lot to say to help us be ready for the time when that trumpet does blow. But chapter 22 of Genesis, verse 1 says, "Now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham." What does it mean, God tested Abraham? Is that the same thing as temptation? The answer is no. To tempt someone is to try and get them to fail, to sin. To test them is to get them to show their faith. So he tested Abraham and said to him, "Avraham." And he said, "Hineni." Hineni is Hebrew, H-I-N-E-N-I. And it means more than just "here I am." It means "here I am and I'm ready to do whatever you ask of me." So it's more than just "here I am." Then he said, that is God said, "Take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you." Then he said, "Take now your son, your only son Isaac." I thought Abraham had a son Ishmael, who was actually older than Isaac. Did God forget?
This is the promised son.
This was the promised son. This was the son of faith. Ishmael represents mankind trying to be saved through their own works, trying to earn their salvation. And Isaac teaches salvation by faith. God had promised a son to Abraham and Sarah. And did she get pregnant immediately? Mm-hmm. Oh, no, no. Decades went by. And they said, "Well, maybe we have to help God keep his promise." And that's when Sarah gave Hagar, her servant, her handmaiden, to Abraham, said, "Have a child with her. Maybe God needs our help." God didn't need the help. So he knows there's another son, but this is the son of promise. This is the one that is important. "And go to the land of Moriah." That'd be nice if we knew where Moriah was. Do you know where Moriah is? Mount Moriah is another name for the Temple Mount. It's the Temple Mount. So he has to go to what becomes the Temple Mount in Israel. "And offer him there as a burnt offering." Every kind of sacrifice done to God, the people get the meat back and they eat it. It's a big barbecue, save one, and that is the burnt offering. The burnt offering is wholly consumed and you get nothing back. But does it say sacrifice him there as a burnt offering? It does not. What does it say? It says offer him there. There's a difference between offering him and sacrificing him, as we're going to find later. Abraham didn't stop to consider the difference, but there is a difference. The sages of old tell us that Isaac was 37 years old when this occurred, which is only important if it's true. Remember, the sages' words are commentary, because what it teaches us is Abraham is really, really old. And if Isaac's 37 years old, a young man in his prime, what if Isaac didn't want to go? Abraham probably couldn't force him. So it shows that Isaac goes willingly. Isaac, of course, is going to picture Messiah. Verse 3, "So Abraham rose early in the morning." That blows me away. If God told me to go offer my son as a sacrifice, I think I might sleep in late, drag my feet, etc. But Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him to be witnesses, of course, and Isaac his son. And he split the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. And who has to carry the wood? Do you know?
Isaac,
just like Yeshua had to carry the cross. That's right. Then on the third day. Why does it tell us that on the third day?
Important.
It is important. Messiah was born after 4,000 years. If you go to on the third day from that, which is go 2,000 years into the future, we find the time of the Messianic kingdom, the coming of Messiah to bring God's kingdom to the earth. Mm-hmm. But just keep that in mind. On the third day, Abraham lifted his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said to his young men, "Stay here with the donkey. The lad and I will go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you." Is Abraham lying to the servants? No. Does he intend to sacrifice Isaac? He does. So why doesn't he say, "I will come back to you"? He says, "We will come back to you."
If he sacrifices him, he's trusting that God will resurrect him.
That's absolutely correct. God had promised that through Isaac, his seed would be called, and Isaac has no children. So if Abraham sacrifices Isaac and God leaves him in the grave, God's a liar. And Abraham knows that can't happen. So when he sacrifices his son, he has faith that God is going to raise him back from the dead. Does it tell us that anywhere in the scripture? It does. It's in the book of Hebrews. But first, let's stay here in Genesis. Verse 6, "So Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering, laid it on Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and the two of them went together. But Isaac spoke to Abraham his father and said, 'Abba, my father,'" or in Hebrew, Avi, could have been either. "And he said, 'Here I am, my son.'" What does Hineni mean, did I tell you? "Here I am, and I'm ready to do whatever is asked of me." Then he said, "Look, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering?" And Abraham said, "My son, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering." So the two of them went together, meaning God will provide a substitutionary sacrifice in your place. Verse 9. Mm-hmm. Yes.
What is the Hebrew word for himself?
I would have to look.
Okay.
I have been told that you can also translate this sentence just as well. "My son, God will provide himself the lamb." But I haven't ever checked that to be sure. But now I have some homework to do.
Okay. Sorry.
That's all right. Then they came to the place of which God had told them, which is Mount Moriah, which later will be called the Temple Mount. Why isn't it called that in Abraham's day?
No temple.
Temple doesn't get built until after the death of David, many years later. Abraham built an altar there. What kind of altar? What does the altar have to be made of? Do you know?
Stones.
Stones cut out without human hands. That is, you can't take a chisel and form the stones for the altar. They have to be as God made them. It's part of the picture that you can't help God. Okay? "And placed the wood in order, and he bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, 'Abraham, Abraham.' So he said, 'Hineni, here I am. Whatever you want, whatever you say, Lord.'" And in my book, angel of the Lord is capitalized. Is it in yours?
Yes.
It should be. This is Yeshua. "And he said, 'Do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me.' Then Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and there behind him," the word behind is acher, which means afterward, as in time. So it means both physically behind him. There is a lamb caught in the thickets behind him. But he also sees in the future Messiah crucified in place of Isaac. It's very important to note that it means both. Ram is a lamb, right? A male lamb. Yeshua was the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And caught in a thicket. Thicket represents the sins of the world. So Abraham went and took the ram and offered up for burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place, "The Lord will provide. For as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be provided." What shall provide? The Lord will provide what? The Lord will provide the substitutionary offering to atone for Isaac and all the rest of us. Now, because I said some things that need proving, let's go up to John chapter 8. I know we're not there yet, and we'll probably review all this again when we get to the book of John. But John chapter 8 takes place at the end of the festival of Sukkot. In fact, on the eighth day of the seven-day festival of Sukkot, called Shemini Atzeret, is where John chapter 8 opens. It's the chapter in which the Lord says, I am the light of the world, and makes all those kind of claims. So look at verse 51, John 8, 51. Most assuredly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never see death. My Hebrew students, what is the Hebrew verb for keeps?
Shamar,
which means to guard. So it means keep as in to guard, to protect, to keep it safe, to honestly protect it. Then the Jews said to him, now we know that you have a demon. Abraham is dead and the prophets, and you say, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never taste death. What are they not understanding? They're looking at the external, at the physical, and Yeshua is talking about the spiritual. So that's where all these disputes seem to come down to. They're looking at the external and he's looking internal. They're looking physical, he's talking spiritual. Verse 53, are you greater than our father Abraham who is dead? Can anybody answer that question for me?
Yes.
Yes, uh-huh. And the prophets are dead. Who do you make yourself out to be? So they understand his claim. He's claiming to be God from all eternity. Yeshua answered, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father who honors me, of whom you say that he is your God. Do you think that hurt? He's twisting the knife, he is. And he goes on to say, yet you have not known him, but I know him. And if I say I do not know him, I shall be a liar like you. But I do know him and keep his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Where did Abraham see the day of Messiah?
On the mountain.
That word achar meant both behind him and future in time. Saw Yeshua. What mountain was that where Isaac was being offered? The Temple Mount. On which mountain did Messiah die? The Temple Mount. A lot of people don't realize he was crucified on the Temple Mount because it's outside the wall of the city, but it's on the same mountain, Mount Moriah. Same mountain. And then if we go to the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, which is sometimes called the honor roll of the faithful, we read about Abraham in verse 17. Let me give you a moment to find it. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 17. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 17. Give me a thumbs up if you're there. And make sure it's your thumb because I can tell the difference. Verse 17 says, Hebrews 11, 17, by faith Abraham, when he was tested, not tempted, but tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, in Isaac your seed shall be called. That's Genesis chapter 21, verse 12. So Abraham's descendants were to come through Isaac. And if Isaac has no children and God leaves him in the grave, then God's promise would be broken. That's all it would take for Satan to prevail, do you realize, is for God to be a liar. God cannot lie. So verse 19 says, concluding that is Abraham concluded that, God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figurative sense. And on which day did he receive him on a figurative sense? On the third day. Which if you add the 4 days before Messiah, puts it at the end of the 6,000 years, beginning of the seventh day, called the day of the Lord, which teaches the rapture and the resurrection. That is why the Akedah, the binding of Isaac, is taught at Rosh Hashanah, because even the Jews of old were looking forward to the rapture and the resurrection, which would come at Rosh Hashanah. Yes, sir?
Even Messiah's resurrection was the third day.
Even Messiah's resurrection was the third day. Would you believe in John chapter 2? We're about to read about the third day. So let's go back to John. Because I got to get through chapter 1 before I get to chapter 2. Just trying to whet your appetites. We're still on verse 45. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote. If I were to take you to every place in the prophets, we would never get out of here. But there's something else I need to teach you from the Torah, from the law, before we can finish chapter 1. Darn it! We must go back to Genesis chapter 28. Because there's something so critical back there that I would just be amiss not to show you. Genesis chapter 28, which is after chapter 22, right? Everybody just go, duh. Yeah. We're at the time of Jacob. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. Isaac has come back with Abraham. He's married. He's had a child. In fact, he had twins, right? Jacob and Esau. And this is about Jacob. Let's start for context. Verse 12. Nah, verse 10. Genesis 28, verse 10. Now Jacob went out from Beersheba. Beersheba means, well, it doesn't matter. But it's a neat place. And went toward Haran. So he came to a certain place. It doesn't tell us what place. But it's a certain place. We're going to find out later. The place is Mount Moriah. Where do we read about Mount Moriah a minute ago? That's where Abraham took Isaac. And stayed there all night because the sun had set. And he took one of the stones of that place and put it at his head. In other words, he's going to make a pillow out of it. Yeah, but I'm sure he put a blanket or a robe or something on it. But I don't know about you, I like to sleep with my head raised a little bit. So he takes a stone to make a pillow out of. He lay down in that place to sleep. Even the sages of old say this is Mount Moriah. He keeps referring to that place, a specific place. And they just don't want to give it away yet. So maybe I shouldn't have given it away yet. But 12. Then he dreamed. Did you realize Jacob's a prophet? And God speaks to him in a dream. Yes, he is. And behold, a ladder was set up on the earth, and its top reached to heaven. And there the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. Wait a minute, the God of Abraham, your father, I thought his father was Isaac. You have to understand Hebrew, the word father means father or male ancestor. Father, grandfather, great-grandfather. Yeah. So Abraham's actually his grandfather, but the word Av covers that. And the God of Isaac, the land on which you lie, I will give to you and your descendants. Also your descendants shall be as the dust of the earth, which doesn't mean dirty, it means innumerable. You shall spread abroad to the west and the east, to the north and the south. And in you and in your seed, singular as in Messiah, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So the promise is made to Jacob to inherit the land, and that through him would come the Messiah. Did Yeshua get born through a descendant of Jacob? The answer is yes. Behold, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go and will bring you back to this land. In other words, his descendants are going to be scattered throughout the world. In fact, it's going to happen a couple times. But ultimately, in the day of the Lord, will be brought back to the land. For I will not leave you until I have done what I have spoken to you. Then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. And he was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God, which in Hebrew is Beit El, and this is the gate of heaven. So this is the place where the temple will be built many years later. Then Jacob rose early in the morning and took the stone that he had put at his head, set it up as a pillar, and poured oil on top of it. What does it mean to pour oil on it? It means to anoint it, to make it holy, to set it apart for God. And he called the name of that place Bethel, which means the house of God. But the name of that city had been Luz previously. Any idea what it came to be called in the future? Jerusalem.
Jerusalem.
Yeah. And then Jacob made a vow saying, if God will be with me and keep me in this way that I'm going, and give me bread to eat and clothing to put on, so that I may come back to my father's house in peace, then the Lord shall be my God. And this stone which I have set as a pillar shall be God's house, or shall become God's house. So this is where the temple gets built so many years later. And of all that you give me, I will surely give you a tenth. This is where the tithe begins for the children of Israel. It's the promise of Jacob that he and his descendants will do for God his father. Okay, back up to John chapter 1. What do we call that ladder? It's referred to as
Jacob's
ladder. Back up to John chapter 1.
Yabba.
Go ahead, Yabba. Go ahead.
The tenth, the Jacob, there was also a tenth that was given to Melchizedek.
That Abraham gave to Melchizedek.
So that was
a one-time.
Well, that wasn't a
me and all my descendants. And it wasn't from what he grew in the land. It was from what he recovered from conquering the kings.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Good, Yabbat. In verse 45, Philip found Nathanael and said to him, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Yeshua of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Do they mean Joseph the carpenter or builder?
Mm-hmm.
The answer is yes and no. It has a double meaning. Is he the son of Joseph? The answer is
yes
and no. He is legally the son of Joseph, though not physically the son of Joseph. When Joseph married Mary, her offspring became his offspring by adoption. So he legally is the son of Joseph. But that's not his primary meaning here. The primary meaning is the Jews of the day were looking for two messiahs to come. One they called Messiah ben Joseph, Messiah son of Joseph. The other, Mashiach ben David, Messiah the son of David. Because in the scriptures, there are two kinds of prophecies about Messiah. If you look at Isaiah 53, Messiah is to suffer and die. If you look in Daniel chapter 9, Messiah is to suffer and die. If you look at Isaiah chapters 65 and 66, Messiah comes as a conquering king. So they said, Messiah comes to suffer and die. That's the suffering servant, Messiah ben Joseph. Because in Genesis, in chapter 49, it describes, you can read it to say Messiah comes from Joseph, though they're misreading it that way, but they misread it. And then the ones where he comes as a conquering king, they called Mashiach ben David, Messiah the son of David, or the conquering king. John the Baptist was the first one to say, not two messiahs, but two comings of one Messiah, back in the book of Matthew. But at this point in time, they were expecting two messiahs. And they thought this was surely the suffering servant who was going to die for the sins of the world. Not exactly the Messiah they were hoping for. They were looking for the conquering king. So there's a double meaning there. But verse 46, what's important here is the way Nathanael responds. And Nathanael said to him, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Doesn't that sound like a strange thing to say? What does it mean? And it says, Philip said to him, come and see. Where did the scripture say Messiah would be born?
Bethlehem.
Bethlehem's not in the Galilee. Bethlehem is about 5 miles outside Jerusalem. They thought surely Messiah would come from the area of Jerusalem. That's where all the, quote, intellectual elites were. That's where all the righteous scholars were. The school of the prophets, the school of the rabbis, the big Pharisaical schools. Those were the intellectual elites. Galilee is considered back in those days, the Amha'arets, or the common people. And if you go north from Galilee into the mountains, you go into the mountains to where Nazareth is, depends which part of Galilee, it's to the west up in the mountains. That was kind of like saying hillbillies. The city of Nazareth in those days had maybe 10 or 12 families. It was a tiny place. It was a working village, if you will, or a bedroom community is sometimes the way we phrase it today. At the big Roman town of Zipporah, which was not too far from Nazareth, there was a big construction project going on. They were building a huge Roman amphitheater out of stone. And the stonemasons that worked on building that amphitheater lived at Nazareth because the Jews didn't live where the Gentiles lived. They were separate. So this was the little community where the builders lived that were building that big amphitheater. I know we've heard that Joseph was a carpenter, but that term comes from 1611 England. When they saw the word builder in 1611 England, what did they build houses and stuff out of? Wood. Were there a lot of trees in Israel? Were they built everything out of wood? The answer is no. They built homes and tables and furniture and things out of stone. Joseph was a stonemason. So he and his family lived there at Nazareth so that he could commute to his work. Could he commute from Jerusalem? No, that's like 90 miles. And how did they get around those days? They walked. So he had to live close to the job. This is where Yeshua, watching his father work and watching the plays that the Greeks would put on in the amphitheater, learned about hypocrites. The word hypocrite means actor, one who plays a role, pretends to be something they're not, so, etc. At any rate, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Answer that question. Let's go back to Isaiah chapter 11. Isaiah chapter 11. Once you learn the Hebrew language, there are things that are going to jump out at you as you study the Old Testament. Give me a thumbs up when you're back in Isaiah chapter 11. Looks like I see a majority of thumbs. Verse 1. There shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse. Actually, the word there for stem is more like stump. A tree in prophecy represents a throne and its descendants that sit upon the throne. So the stem of Jesse refers to the throne of David, which according to the thoughts of the people would eventually look like the tree had been cut down because the Davidic line would appear to have ended. But Messiah is going to be a rod. The word rod is actually shoot, like a little tender shoot growing out of a stump. So it would look to the people like the Davidic line had ended, but Messiah is still from the Davidic line and will bring back the throne to the descendants of David. But then it goes on to say, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The word branch in the Old Testament, almost everywhere you see it, is the same word with one exception. It's the word zamach, everywhere but here. Well, that's all the time we have for this week, folks. We'll come back to the book of John next week, Lord willing, if we're still here. But I do believe with all my heart that the Lord is coming soon. So I'd encourage you, if you've never been saved, if you've not given your life to God, I would encourage you to do it now. Salvation is by faith, not by works, lest any man should boast. If you don't know how to do that, then please give me a call or visit my website at www.john1415.org. May God bless you.